chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. For what he proclaimed is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show what the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. May we see it.
Good morning. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. We have some who are visiting with us from a good distance who have come in to see family and friends this holiday, and we know some are traveling, and so we wish everybody Godspeed in their travels and are thankful that you are that you have made Seven Oaks a part of your Memorial Day weekend plans. Certainly, it's always important, the most important thing, to remember our Lord each day, but especially on His day, the first day of the week. Paul was being accused. He was being slandered, and he was being drugged through the mud, we might say. He was being made fun of by his looks and by his voice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, they said about Paul, these false apostles and false teachers did, who had come in after him in the city of Corinth, that his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. The idea of Paul having a bodily presence that is weak is probably saying that when you look at Paul, he's not someone that looks very reputable. He's not someone that looks like a leader. He's not someone that looks like you should trust in and believe in. Paul, we're not for sure exactly what he looked like, but any physical description we have of Paul is one that's not very impressive. In fact, in Galatians, the next book over, chapter 4, Paul tells the brethren there in verse 14 that, or verse 13, that you know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me. So he had some physical condition, at least when he was with the brethren at Galatia, that you could make fun of him for. Some people think because of 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, his thorn in the flesh that he had, and what he says here in verse number 15, when it says they would have even gouged out their eyes and given them to me, that it was some kind of affliction that caused his eyes to be afflicted so that when you looked at him, it was somewhat repulsive. That maybe there was a lot of infection and problems with his eyes, that it was very unappealing to look at Paul. Some consider all the beatings he took, all the shipwrecks, all the physical abuse he took, said that he could have been suffering from a lot of scars and just physical, very rough looking because of all the beatings. And he could have been broken in his bones and not been able to stand up very straight. We just don't know for sure. There's a lot of tradition around his looks. Whatever, Paul is saying that he had a physical looks that was not very impressive, and even people made fun of him for his looks. And these false teachers are saying, hey, why are you following somebody that looks like that? And then they said about Paul, they said that he can't even speak. His speech is of no account. Now, this may refer to the tone of his voice. He's just got a grating speech that just drives you crazy. It could refer, as Paul does himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that he did not speak with excellence of wisdom and knowledge, that he did not speak as the Greeks did with a very great oratory and wonderful speaking ability that drew people in and said, I want to listen to that guy for hours. In fact, Paul says, I came to you, 1 Corinthians 2, and knew nothing, preached nothing to you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul is being made fun of because he looks funny and because he can't talk right. Well, what's Paul do? Paul writes him a letter, and he writes 2 Corinthians. And he says, I found three people who think I'm cute. And I found one guy who liked to hear me preach. So, y'all take that. Is that what Paul did? No, Paul didn't get into a contest with them, did he? He said, in fact, later on, that it's not even wise to compare ourselves to others and to get into this contest. But rather, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our text, he says in verse number 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, the gospel treasure, the power of the gospel, in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Paul said that, this is my illustration of a jar of clay, an earthen vessel. Paul says, I'm not going to get into a dispute with you about my physical looks or my speaking ability or all these things that you want to run me down about and compare and kind of match up our different credentials. Paul says, I'm just going to empty myself and say, all I am is a jar of clay. I am kiln-dried mud. I'm just dirt. I'm just dust that's been made into something useful. The illustration also could be how they often use, not a big jar like this, they use kiln-dried mud and earthen vessels, terracotta for all kinds of things, all kinds of cooking ware. They would cook with it. They would use it to store things, use it for pots to carry to go get water from the well. They would use it to make boxes. And typically, they would, when they were going to store something that's very valuable, they would store it in a very precious box. But Paul says that I am holding a great treasure, but all I am is a clay box. And it's similar to what they would use like a lantern, and they had clay lanterns, and they had precious oil in that lantern, and they would light a candle, and they would use it to light their homes at night. And Paul says, that's the way I am. I'm not very valuable. I can be broken easily in terms of my value, and I can be replaced. But I am holding out the light, the precious treasure of the gospel. And the power is not in us, but the power is in God. So Paul says, I'm not going to debate with you about my speech or my looks, but rather, what matters is I am God's clay that has been formed by the potter. This illustration of clay being formed by the potter is a common one. In Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah would quote from the Lord when Jeremiah tells him to go, or the Lord tells him to go to the potter's house, and there I will hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, verse 3, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. And the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Each of us are jars of clay. We've been formed, we've been made by the Lord. And when you think about clay pots, there's three things I think that we can learn from clay pots from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the basic idea that we want to get from all this is that Paul is saying it wasn't his talents, it wasn't his credentials, it wasn't his abilities, it wasn't his looks or his speaking that really gave him reasons to rejoice. But rather, he says, it is my infirmities. It is my weaknesses. Those are the things that give me reasons to rejoice and boast, because it is when I am weak, 2 Corinthians 12, that He is strong. And so when we think about clay pots were and are humble. They were humble. Paul says this treasure is in earthen vessels. He talks about, verse 3, we proclaim not ourselves, but we proclaim Jesus Christ. The light, verse 6, shines out of darkness and is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The paradox is we put nice treasures in nice containers. But God has chosen to put His treasure in us, weak and feeble jars of clay. Because we can then see, and the world can see, that the power is not in us, but is in God. Paul said that all he was a jar of clay. Baked clay was cheap, breakable, replaceable, and unattractive. It was something that was common. When you study archaeological digs, what do they always find? A lot of clay pots, different types of uses that they use for clay. They formed it into all kinds of things because it was replaceable, it was cheap, and it was available to them. Paul says, that's us. Thus, Paul was humble. If you're a clay pot, you don't need to take pride in the way you look. It's not about your value, but it's about the treasure you hold. When you think about the humility of Paul, Paul says, he was the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul counted himself, he counted all things nothing or as dung, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, as trash or as rubbish. All of his accolades, all the accomplishments he had had, he says, they're all like trash to me that I might gain Christ. Paul said he was the least of the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:9. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul said he was a wretched man. Paul said, if you want to get into an argument about all these qualifications that you have that I don't have and why they should follow you and not follow me, Paul says, I'm not even going to make the argument. He says, I am just a clay pot. I'm just humble. But when you look at me, what is being held in the pot, what's being held in the box, what's being lit through the oil that's in me is what's valuable. It's the power of God. It's the gospel. God delights in choosing the weak and the feeble. That's the point of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29, that not many wise are chosen, but the weak, the feeble are chosen. You know, sometimes as Christians, we think in our mass media, social media world, and with the news, we think that if a celebrity came to Christ and preached the truth, boy, that would do a lot of good. And we take pride. I saw someone recently who was making a list of all the celebrities that are in the church. They were making a list of all the celebrities. And we think, well, that's neat when the celebrities are in Christ, because they have a great voice. We think it's neat when the wealthy come to Christ because they have a lot of money. When the significant come to Christ, when the elite of our community come to Christ, that's neat because they have a lot of power and influence. Have you noticed that that rarely happens? Rarely happens, does it? Most of the time, celebrities don't come to Jesus. Most of the time, the rich and powerful and wealthy don't come to Jesus. It's not the way God works. God chooses the weak, the feeble, the humble, so that His power can be seen in them. Paul said, I'm a clay pot. I'm a jar of clay. And if you look to chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, when he talks about his thorn in the flesh, he says, the reason I have learned this is because I've learned that His power is made perfect in weakness. I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of you this morning boast in your weaknesses? How many of you, if someone comes up to you, say, hey, I want you to do this, and you say three or four reasons why you don't feel like Moses, like Paul, like a lot of biblical people, like Gideon, why you don't feel like you can do that, and you view those things as weaknesses, and you take shame in those things, and you say, yeah, but I'm not capable, I'm not able, I can't do it. And you feel bad about yourself. Paul says, I'm a little short man that can't look good, can't see, can't talk good. But you know what? When I do what I can do, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm a wretched man. But people see the light of the gospel through me. And it's easier to see Christ in a broken clay pot than it is to see Christ in a pretty vase. You see, Paul says, it's through our weaknesses. It's through our infirmities that we can rejoice. He says, I'm content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions, with calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We're not talking about sin here. We're not saying you take pride in your sin. No, we're talking about human frailties. We're talking about in talents, in your abilities. It's in our weaknesses that God can be most seen. Knowing our weaknesses isn't a disadvantage. It is essential to what we do as Christians, because it's through our weaknesses that we can most glorify Christ. Clay pots are humble, but clay pots are sturdy. Now, they can be broken, but generally speaking, in this day, the ancient days, clay pots were very sturdy. They would use them a lot to cook with. They were made, of course, while they were dried in a heated oven, but they would also be reheated easily, and they could be used for years. In fact, we've returned in our modern day to baked stoneware. And you can find baked stoneware a lot of places, and we sell Pampered Chef and all these baked stoneware products, because it can be heated and cooled and heated and cooled, and you don't use soap and water, but you use water and you scrape it. And you scrape it, and it's tough, it's sturdy. Now, if you take it and drop it on ceramic tile or drop it like that, it's going to shatter into pieces. But it's sturdy, it's tough. Paul says he's sturdy, he's tough. Look at verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians 4. He says this, "For we are afflicted in every way, but I like this, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair." He's saying, we've been, but we don't break, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Paul was tough. When you think about Paul, he was extremely resilient. In chapter 13, verse number 4, he talks about this same concept when he says this, "For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God." Christ himself was crucified in weakness, but was resurrected through the power of God. Christ was resilient. He was sturdy. Paul talks about this, as I have listed in chapter 1, 8 through 9, the suffering that he went through, filling up the afflictions of Christ. Chapter 6, he talks about it. In chapter 4 of the book of 1 Corinthians, he lists off what the apostles have endured. He says in verse 11, "To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed. We are disciplined and homeless. We labor, work with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat." Listen to this. "We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." Now, scum, that's a great thought you didn't think you'd be thinking of when you came to church today. Scum is what happens when you use a clay pot or you use a frying pan, and it gets all that residue on there, and then you stick it in the sink and you just let it set there for a few days. You know you've done that. And then you got to run the water, and it's not just going to come off easily. You've got to get out a scouring pad, and you've got to scrape it off. You've got to get that off. Paul says, us apostles, in the eyes of the world, are that stuff that you're scraping off. We are, to the world, like the scum of it. We're the off-scouring. We have no value to the world. In fact, in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul will list off all the things he has endured: the shipwrecks, the beatings, the persecutions, and even the great trial of his anxiety for the churches. But here's the thing about Paul, and here's the thing about the apostles, is they were sturdy. They were resilient. Christians, I want you to remind yourself that you're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through difficult times, but you're a clay pot. You're sturdy, you're strong. You're going to be scraped. You're going to be heated up. You're going to go through a lot of pressure. Pressed down, as Paul says, but not crushed. But you're going to endure. And you can endure if you know that it's through your weaknesses that Christ is most clearly seen. Clay pots are sturdy. But then notice finally, clay pots are expendable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 12, Paul comes back to this thought. So he said that clay pots are humble. He said that clay pots are sturdy. We did not break. But then he says this in verse 10, "Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Clay pots cost little to produce, and they have little intrinsic value. They were virtually disposable. Now, we live in a disposable age, but in their age, metal and things like that were very valuable, and gold and silver, precious metals. But clay pots could be reproduced easily. They were the plastic of the first century, if you will. Clay pots were expendable. Paul says, I want you to know something. my life is expendable for Jesus. And that is, Paul is saying that he is giving his life for the eternal treasure, and that he's only a clay pot that's for a temporary use. That you know you're only going to use that clay pot for a certain number of years, and if it breaks, when it breaks, you replace it. Paul says that there are people coming along after me who are going to do the job. And my job is just to hold out the gospel in my clay pot while I am here. But I want you to know something for all of us. It's just our job to do it for now. The treasure's not in us. The treasure's in the gospel. In the future, somebody else will be holding out the gospel. Anne McLean was showing me, she had found in her mom's home upstairs the 1965 directory for the Seventh and College Church of Christ. It's going back a pretty good ways. A lot of people that were in that directory obviously are not here today. 1965, what, some 60 or so years almost? Think about that. All the people who were there then, clay pots, holding out the gospel, and then all the people 60 years or so from now who are going to be looking at you in a directory, who are going to be looking at you in a group picture, and they're going to be saying, they're no longer here. That was my granddad. That was my mom and dad. That was our family picture when we were young. We're all clay pots. We're all expendable in that sense. And our job while we are here is to hold the gospel. Paul uses the term, typically the noun term for death, some 45 times in the New Testament. But here he uses the phrase, the participle, dying. It's the act of dying. And the ESV talks about it still with the term death. But death is at work in us. Well, how's death at work in us, verse 12? What he's saying is we are dying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, he says that he is dying, but life is in you. They have the life because of Paul's death. We're all here temporarily, but our job is to hold the gospel and to allow it to be seen in us. Clay pots are humble. Clay pots are sturdy, and clay pots are expendable. But here's the lesson I want to make sure you got, is that we should glory in our weaknesses so that the power of God can be seen in you. You see, I hope you understand that you're a clay pot, and that you could stand up, just like I stood up and talked about Paul, and I said Paul was not that good in his appearance, and he wasn't that good in his speaking. And you could stand up and you could say a list of things, just like Paul said, that you're not as good as other people in. And you could tell me your weaknesses. Many of you know your weaknesses more than you do your strengths. And what I want you to know, and what I want you to leave church knowing, is that this week, and for the rest of your lives, take pride in your weaknesses, because it's in your weaknesses that Christ can be most clearly seen. It's in your weaknesses that you can allow the gospel to shine forth, because the power of God can be seen in you. And so people say, when they see you, they say, I know, just like when Paul endured all that suffering, and when Paul was up preaching and they knew he wasn't the greatest at it, they could say, I know he does that not because of himself, but he does it because of the power of God. He endures because of the power of God. He teaches because of the power of God. He serves because of the power of God. It's not because of his strength. It's because of God's strength. And so Paul said, as we'll study tonight, I can do all things, not in himself, but through Christ who strengthens me. And that's how you can do things too, is through Christ. Take joy in your weaknesses. God gave them to you so the world could see Him in you. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, if we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.